Mike.
Do you know the intro song that I use is... Okay, this can't happen. You know the intro song that I use is your beat? Called Little Lost Boat?
Mm-hmm. That's been the thing since day one.
Yeah, right?
I don't think it'll ever change either.
I like it, man. It's kind of like the Smooth Competition beat.
Yeah. Was that the first smooth beat you used?
Yeah.
Like since episode one?
Since episode really? One. It's the same beat.
It's so like fitting too.
Because for all my vlogs, I used to use like three different artists. And then I just kind of started rolling with the same artist. But one of those three, I was just going through all of his like trip hop style. And I saw that one and I was like.
Bam, down, down.
Yes.
That's funny.
Dude, I remember when we were at the Topgolf thing, they played it. They played that song
repeat
the whole time. And the bad
wait,
thing
like
is,
purposely?
Yeah.
I thought they like actually just played that beat.
No. They played it on purpose. Oh, dude, I poured this beer so bad. It's going to be forever.
Well, welcome to the Flycast.
welcome to the Flycast. The best podcast in Optic and the most consistent.
And the most, well, and the just as consistent as the other one.
Exactly. But I mean, should we talk? I know we're both kind of against talking about what is going to happen because then it sets it up for failure and it puts pressure on the, like, the people in the video. Like, you don't say, I'm going to vlog every single day.
Yeah, no, I stopped doing anything like that.
Same. But what we can say is that because of the move and because of everything that's going on, we are trying our best to put more emphasis on the Flycast. And
yeah, we know it's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
So,
we know we're the shit.
Yeah. We know we're... yeah. So a lot has happened since... Shit, how long?
Bro.
Every single podcast, we get to say a lot has happened since blah, blah, blah,
yeah.
Because our podcasts are so far apart. So at least we get a lot to talk about.
We got a lot to talk about.
When was like the last, when we did podcasts, when was it? Like, what was the beginning of like since our last podcast?
I know the last thing we talked about, the last thing we talked about wasn't like current event stuff because I kind of like went back and checked the titles. It wasn't like current event stuff. It was like us talking about like,
was that the something in weed stories?
Yeah.
That was the last Flycast.
Yeah. And then the one before that was when we were talking about like relationships. Cause two Flycasts ago, Sam and I just started dating. We have been dating for 9 months. So that is how inconsistent
the
Flycast has been.
The third Flycast in 3 months. 9 months. The third Flycast in 9 months. Are we all good on the audio?
I think we're all good. We'll see.
Test, test, test. We don't want to pull no hex here. Because when he was in charge of things, it's funny. He really did let that go to you. He was like, all right.
Yeah.
The podcast, for
Smooth Comp.
He was, yeah, you
everything.
Handle audio.
Yeah. Well, no. It turned into Hex when Hex started, like all of the Optic Nation stuff, besides Vision, like he kind of like was the head guy for it. Like he did everything, as far as like set up, and then I would do all the editing. Like for the podcast, he would set it up, he would have everybody there, they would record, and then I would edit. And then for Smooth Comp, he would call all the bouncy castles in the backyard, and then I would do all the editing. Then one day he was like, I'm not doing this anymore. And then that day it was all up to me.
Well, the thing is, I don't want to start this first podcast in forever just bashing Hex's audio abilities, but there would be a lot of issues. And I don't know how to hook up any of this.
Yeah.
So I pretty much.
And this is like cheating. Like the thing is because what we eventually want to do with the Optic cast is. Do something like all the podcast quality that you see, like Joe Rogan and H3H3, like that kind of quality. And you can't get that from this device. Cause this device is kind of like you plug an SD card into it. It records the audio to the SD card and then you sync it up in post. It's not like,
well, why did, Like, shouldn't that be it? Like, why is it more difficult than that?
Because it's not like an actual, like, I think in order to get the highest of quality, like Nate Shot or like Big T quality, you need like an actual mix amp and you need it to run through like
different. I mean, that's all just stuff I don't know anything about.
Oh, same. And they're like all the people here are like, all right, so let's make the Optic podcast better.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well,
that's like when people would come to me with like with my music stuff and like, let's make a rap. Let's rap on mm-hmm. YouTube. I'm like,
I barely know how to make beats. Like,
yeah. Like, I'm still on the beats. I don't, the audio, the microphone and yeah. the voice is a whole new fucking instrument.
Yeah. And you refuse to put out like Bandcamp style. Yeah.
I refuse to put out SoundCloud. like it, as far as YouTube entertainer, like if I'm gonna put something out, it's gonna be like at least like Rice Gum quality. Yeah. Like he goes to a studio. It's yeah. like professionally done. It sounds good.
You know, he gets his raps from his from his guy.
From his Quentin Miller.
So we can talk about that. So the when we were at the Stakoff house, you were kinda you weren't like going through stuff, but you were just like,
it was like maybe a midlife crisis at fucking 25, 26.
Yeah. Oh, what am I doing, dude?
What? The fucking glasses.
What am I doing?
Right?
See, I couldn't even see you without
Yeah, so I guess at the end, shit, at the end of like, okay, how long ago was the last podcast?
Dude, I mean, I can check.
Exactly. Okay, it doesn't matter. Okay. But like, toward a little bit before that podcast, a little bit after that podcast, I guess I was going through some stuff. And I don't even know what the fuck I was going through. It was just like, I think everyone who watches would like can attest to like sometimes you don't know why you feel a certain way.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I think I know to a certain extent why I felt that way. I didn't know. I didn't like wake up with a purpose. I didn't like have a goal. I was confused on what I wanted to do, what I was doing. Then I was just living unhealthy. I was eating shit foods. I wasn't exercising. I wasn't getting out of the house. So, I mean, that's pretty much a fucking, that's a setup for disaster right there. It's just living a unhealthy life.
Yeah. And I think this is like kind of a hard read and like, it's never something that you've like formally said. But while, because this is like over, because the last Flycast, we talked about how people are mad that you were just upstairs doing nothing. They're like, because remember you were like, who was the guy upstairs? Mm-hmm. And so you had been going through it for like 6 months prior to that. So this has been like a year long kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's 20, not.
It was 2017. Yeah. Fucking, I remember in the beginning of 2017, I specifically remember me, you, and Seth. We're scump. We're yeah. just like standing there, like fucking 2017. This is our year. And we were like hype. We were like, I remember we were saying no girlfriends.
Yeah,
fucking like gonna work. That's when we were working out, and I think I lasted up until like February with like the working out.
Yeah,
you guys didn't last too long with the girlfriend situation.
Oh, dude.
And then
that was immediate.
Yeah. And then I was just everyone kind of went their separate ways and yeah, did their own thing.
So like what I was talking about, the hard read or whatever over the past year, whenever, you know, cause before that you were grinding YouTube or you were grinding streams,
or playing Halo.
Yeah. Or playing Halo, over the past year, like, and that's when your YouTube was kind of thriving. Is right after you stopped playing Halo and you started playing H1 and you started grinding vlogs and stuff, your YouTube was like popping. Mm-hmm. And then like while all that stuff starts happening, like, you know, you start focusing on other things and then you start feeling like, what, this is kind of like, you start going through whatever it is. YouTube like changed. YouTube like 180'd.
For sure.
Like that's when you know, people, instead of uploading YouTube videos, they started like playing YouTube.
Yeah.
And that is kind of
what it turned into, like a game, yeah, like a sort of like a science to it of, yeah, just like what's going to get views.
And what's, it was like, get me this money. Type of,
yeah, what's going to get me money?
Yeah, exactly.
What, and that'll be the title, the content usually wouldn't be that good anyways.
Yeah, exactly.
But the title, thumbnail, fucking clickbait.
Yeah.
Not that I care. I mean, because I really don't care. But it definitely did take like a fucking 180.
Yeah.
Towards like a weird direction.
Because when I upload still, like when I upload on my personal channel, like I still do the weird, like find what somebody said in my vlog, uh-huh, make it the title, and then do my quirky little thumbnails on my own phone or whatever. But I understand that if I titled it Skump Comes Over and Gets Naked and then has a picture of Skump with, yeah, one, like a censored, I know it's going to get more views and I know I would get more money off of that.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do it. I don't know.
Yeah.
And I feel like you're the same way.
I'm the same way to a certain extent, yeah, but I don't have a problem as long as, I don't know. I think I've found like a medium.
Yeah. I guess. I feel like when you clickbait, or like go crazy in the thumbnail, you do it as like a parody because you're the same way. And I feel the same way as, well, about myself.
Okay. Okay. Sorry. Here I go. I'm going to start interrupting you and shit. Just like old times. But I was going to say, to interrupt you, fucking actually what I'm talking about is like when people set up a thumbnail, like they'll set like,
yeah,
they'll,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
have their hands. Oh my God. I can't believe this happened.
Yeah.
And then they'll literally like be like, hey, Johnny, take a picture of me doing this. And like that shit's corny to me.
Yeah.
But like my shit, not to say fucking mine's not corny and theirs is.
Yeah.
But my point is this, like they're taking something that like didn't even really happen and they're trying to emphasize that.
Yeah.
And then my shit's kind of clickbait because I'm literally naked on like two of my last four videos. But it's that. Like, you literally came in my bathroom when I was naked.
Yeah, yeah.
And like that actually happened. It wasn't fucking like scripted. It wasn't right. Like, it just, I don't know. That's, yeah, it was real.
Yeah, exactly.
But like, I'll use that realness to fucking,
yeah,
I guess try to fucking get views, yeah, or whatever.
And during that whole time, because it wasn't just you not uploading, it was like you, Bose, Mike, everyone but Pam, and we're all not uploading, and people were like, you guys aren't uploading, but look at all of these people, look at their views, look at their success. And it's like, that's cool, but like and I respect those people's grind. Like I'm obviously not saying any names, but yeah, I don't want to do what they're doing. I don't want the fan base that they're getting off of that those videos. And I don't want, like, I don't want my, like, that would be work to me. Like, I want to continue to do stuff that I like to do. And yeah, me, like, sitting, like, at my desk thinking about different ways that I can basically scam my audience in order to get more views so you guys can give me more money. Like, it's not, that's not what I signed up to do. It's not what I wanted to, yeah, do. And so when everybody's like roasting us about how we're not uploading, and it's like, well, that's not uploading to us. And we have this whole separate, separate thing going on where the Scuff House is basically as stale as it can possibly get.
Fuck yeah.
And then
that was the biggest problem.
Yeah.
Just, I wouldn't, yeah. I mean, it has nothing to do with other people. That's not why, like, we sucked.
Yeah.
Or, like, I sucked.
Yeah.
But I mean,
and I'm not, I wouldn't, yeah, I don't want people to think I'm blaming it on other people. I'm just saying there's a lot that, like, subconsciously is going on.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
'cause I remember probably around that time in Vision where I was like, I would rather do music, yeah, than, like, do YouTube, and just brought up that idea or whatever. I remember around that time, I think the exact words I used to Hex was like, YouTube is just so fucking corny to me. Like, it doesn't, it just doesn't seem real. Yeah. And at that time, though, my mind was definitely like jaded and like just clouded to where I wasn't really thinking clearly. And I just wasn't in a good space regardless.
Yeah.
And now that I'm definitely feeling better, it's, and I have a more clear mind, something like saying YouTube is corny isn't even like in my headspace. Like, I'm gonna just do me.
Yeah.
And whatever I feel is right, I do that. True. If I don't, then, you know, I don't.
Yeah.
And all I can do is just like share my experience.
Yeah. Exactly.
It doesn't matter what anyone else is doing. People worry about other people too much.
Facts. And I know I say facts after just saying that we were worrying about people, but it wasn't even like we were sitting around like worrying about people. We were just watching. We were like sitting back, like not like obviously frustrated that we didn't have the motivation to upload, because it's easy to say, oh, you guys are just being lazy and not uploading. But every single day that has ever gone by since I have become a YouTuber or have worked on YouTube videos, every single day that I don't upload, it does. I think about it, and it stresses me out.
I mean, yeah, I was the same way too.
Yeah, it's got to be that way for everybody.
Yeah.
So whenever people are like, "Oh, you're just being lazy and not uploading," it's like makes you feel bad, because
people don't like, you can't, you don't just upload. Like, uploading isn't just a job, as in stock the shelves, put this can on this shelf, job done. Like, uploading is like, you have an audience that holds you to like a certain criteria or a certain standard, and you don't feel comfortable uploading unless it's like sort of at that standard, unless you are in like a creative mindset or a good mindset, a comfortable mindset, that you're comfortable putting up your work.
Yeah.
It's like your art almost.
Yeah.
And so it's not just fucking laziness. Like, there's a certain laziness was for sure a part of it, but it's not at all of it. Like, there's a creative part behind it that, like, you can't just, it's not just work. It's something, I don't know, something different.
Yeah. And it's frustrating because, like, not really frustrating, but, like, people will just say, like, you don't know what it's like to work, but we're, like, the only two that do.
Yeah. I would say out of us and Hex.
Oh, Hex for sure.
We're the only ones that had jobs.
Yeah, Hex more so than
multiple
us.
Multiple jobs.
Hex more so than us. And the thing with me, it's, like, I worked for 3 years. I worked for 3 years, and one of those years I was in school, so I wasn't even dedicated to esports yet. And then I had 2 years while I was working dedicated to, I was working at Walgreens, and then on the side I was pursuing esports. So Hex worked for like 15 years or some shit, and then one day decided, you know, I hate this, so I'm going to do what I love. So that's like, people wonder how Hex is such a grinder. I mean, obviously it's in his bloodstream.
Yeah.
He talks about like how he grinded at that desk job.
Yeah.
But also, like, he did what we did, but times that by like 7.5.
Mm-hmm.
And that's crazy.
Some people are just hardwired like that. Yeah. Like Flamesword, he is wired to, like, I know he used to sort of have insomnia, but I'll hear him talk to people in the gym, and they'll be like, "You gotta get your sleep, blah blah blah." But Mike, they'll be like, "How much you sleep?" He'll be like, "I try to get 6 hours." I'm like, "Try to get 6 hours? I need at least 8. Like, I can sleep for 12, but like at 8, I'm, if I feel, you know, good enough, I'll get up.
Yeah,
maybe 6 at the least." But like, I don't know. I'm not wired like that. I'm genuinely tired and can go back to sleep when I wake up. Like, people like Flamesword, people like Hex, they are not. They'll go to bed at 2 a.m. Their alarm will go off at 7. And it's like, I'm sure there's plenty of days where they could go back to sleep, but they're like, "Nah, let's just get up."
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, they're pretty hardwired to this. They're ready to get up. They have the energy. They don't feel like going back to sleep. And it's just a certain way they're wired. And that's kind of weird to me.
Yeah.
Fucking, like, some people can just get 4 to 6 hours of sleep. Like, this dude we met at the gym was saying he sleeps about, like, 4 hours every night. That's, I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah. That's like, crazy.
How?
There are nights when, like, I will go to sleep really late, and I'll fall asleep with my mind, like, constantly, like, going. Like, this, like, there's something we're dealing with in work that I'm kind of stressing about. And so I got off my stream, and then I started, like, thinking about it, and I was like, damn, like, I just streamed for 4 hours. That's 4 hours where I can't focus on this, even just, like, mentally. So then I was just, like, freaking out about it, and I fell asleep on that my mind going. So I woke up like 5 hours later, like wide awake, like extremely awake because of stress.
That was like me at events when I used to compete.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
When you wake up, like you can't fall back asleep.
Yeah, you're like, yeah. You're like
ready. Unless you're like ace. then, I remember for like events we teamed, like people like ace would always be the last to shower because it's like they just want to sleep until everyone's ready.
Yeah. So,
but yeah.
But then there's times when I go to sleep and I'm either like clear of mind or like I've been awake for way too long. So I'm crazy tired. And then I'll sleep for like 10 to 12 hours. And it's like, so I have like my 4 hour nights and then I have my crazy lazy sleep in nights.
I'm usually, I don't fucking know.
You're not a usually anything.
Yeah. I'm not usually anything.
Sometimes weird. I've seen you stay up for 48 hours, and then I've seen you a normal schedule, and then I've seen you
like right sleep now. I'm on a normal schedule.
Yeah.
If there's usually only video, well, music definitely was like a part of my non-sleeping period. But usually a video game has to be involved where I'm just addicted. I have to be like addicted to something.
Yeah.
Some kind of entertainment.
I'm actually surprised how you've done with World War II.
Yeah, I don't know.
You said it, and I as much as I don't want to believe it because I want you to hold on to it. But I think you're over video games, man.
It's weird. Like scary.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't like it because I can't like talk to you about anything.
Yeah.
Like we had one conversation at the event about like something that like Damon did and you like called out fire and you were like, why did Damon sit in fire in this one spot? And I looked at you and I was like, this is the first time we've talked this way in like 6 months. Like I can't even remember the last time.
And it's what's weird is like I planned on kind of playing at Dallas, but like with the move and everything. Mm-hmm. And I kind of got out of my room for a couple of days, traveling, getting everything set up, just like moving around everywhere. I was like, I do not want to go back to my brand new apartment, brand new city, brand new state, brand new life.
Yeah.
I just got this. I don't want to go back to my place and play video games. COD for no fucking reason.
I don't think, and to be honest, I don't think any of us have. The only time I ever play is if I'm playing, if Blake and George can get on, or I'm playing like a tournament and I'm streaming it. And like, then, cause like the stream will, it's all about the stream. Yeah.
Eventually I'll figure something out the stream. Hop on the I wish I could just like, I could, but I wish I could like stream fucking just not a video game where I feel like I have to perform, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, my streams definitely pop off more when I'm, like, playing good. I don't know. Something cool is happening. Not really when I'm just sitting there talking and, like, saying what's up to, like, people I like saying what's up to.
How is Alana doing?
She hasn't talked to me since I fucking, like, broke it off, I guess.
Oh, well.
Yeah, I could actually tell for the few people. Okay. There's going to be a very small amount of people who actually fucking care.
True.
But, all right, so should I even explain this?
Like, go for it. Dude, it was a big part. Like, there was like.
Not really.
You had like 1,600 people in your stream, which means that in YouTube videos, that's like 9,000 people because 1,400 people constantly circulating.
Okay.
Like a lot of people know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, back in the day when I was playing H1Z1 addictively, I ran into this chick, Olana, who killed me in a game. I didn't know it was a girl, but they had a pink Lammy, and I said something about the Lammy. Realized it was a girl. Realized she was streaming, went through a stream, and it's like a super cute Asian chick. Yeah. And I was like, what the fuck?
It screamed your type.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely was. And then we started talking. And then we started playing. Then we were streaming together, just a little bit, nothing crazy at all.
Yeah.
And then it got to a point where I'd like told her I liked her, and then she was like, I mean, she was like accepting of it. Like we were definitely flirty. She like we talked about like seeing each other. But then it got to a point where I don't think my mindset was in the right place, but like, I feel like maybe I was too needy or she was too insecure to like, I guess, give herself to me, if that makes sense. I mean, like,
and this is happening. Like you said earlier, like 2017 was the year where we were gonna, you, Seth, and I were gonna get hot, and we were gonna stay single the whole year.
Shredded.
And then 2 months in, Seth and I get wifed up. Yeah. We stop working out, and then 2 weeks after that, this is when that Olana thing happens.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that was in your head at all.
Like I would text her and just like get responses that like didn't satisfy me. Yeah. And that's such like a chick thing to say.
Yeah. It's the first time it's the only time I've ever seen you like that. You're like, I don't know, like, what is going on?
Like,
here?
What is she? I couldn't like read her. And I feel like I'm really good at reading people.
Yeah.
But it was like, I was like self-conscious. I was like, yeah, does she even like me? Like, I'm like texting her. I'm getting like one word responses.
Yeah.
I was like, but she like tells me, she like, I think liked me.
Did she like, get like
tell me she liked me and shit like that? And it wasn't the typical like you can see someone from afar like, and you know they're just like getting played. It's like, dude, she's not into you. Like you got to give it. Like she was. I think she was genuinely into me.
Yeah.
I know she was.
You couldn't tell if she was like insecure or not.
Crazy.
Because she was like, she would text you only a little once in a while. She said something about liking her ex or something, or like her,
no.
She was, what, she just got out of a long distance or long term relationship. So.
She had an ex, but I don't know.
And then also like, wasn't like a one or two instances where she like, you like thought she was like jealous?
No, there was, it's just like, wait, do you remember like I showed you a text? This is so fucking girly and gossipy, but I showed you a text one time that she sent me and I was like, am I crazy or is she crazy? Do you remember like looking at, I forget what the text says,
because it was like somebody came into your chat and you said hi to them like really flirty. It was like Chelsea maybe.
Nah, it wasn't Chelsea, but pretty much.
It's somebody that you like jokingly flirt with, like, and you have for years, and you like said something to them like, hey, how are you? Like, hey, big head or something. And then she saw that and then she texted you like, so what's going on?
Yeah, it was like something like that, but
I can't remember.
It was,
And this is no disrespect to Olana, by the way. Like, we're just reminiscing on a time in Nick's relationship history. But
I got a text from her over like a situation that I was just like, I don't think this should be a situation.
Yeah.
But like, I guess to her it was. But then even a little after that, we still like kept talking. But I guess that was sort of like a red flag to me.
Yeah.
And then as we're talking more, and I feel fucking unsatisfied with the responses I'm getting via text message. And like, cause sometimes I'd fucking, this is weird. Like want to talk on the phone or something.
Yeah.
And we don't, she just like goes to sleep without saying a word. And so then I told her one day, like it's not going to work. We probably just shouldn't talk. And it's not like breaking up with her because we weren't dating, yeah. But it was just like, I get a very strong hint this isn't going to work.
Yeah.
And it's not because of you or me. It's just not, I guess it's not going to work. And oh. So that was the, and Everest, I don't even think I got a text back from that.
I think that was how it ended, right?
That's just how it ended. And I haven't talked to her since. And no, I have no hard feelings towards Olana. I hope they actually meet her one day.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
It would.
Because it wouldn't be like a, yeah, you, we were, it would be like, yeah, a, do was, you remember that random month yeah, when?
there was no like hostility at all.
Yeah, yeah. And it was really fun for the good. Really really fun for the stream too. Your stream was popping at that point. They were
so annoying.
Yeah, right. They started like the whole mom and dad thing.
Mom, dad, I'd go into her stream. Where's dad?
they're really creepy.
Where's mom?
It's like kind of creepy. Little
kids.
Yeah,
but like we're the fucking mom and dad of you, the Twitch streamer.
I did like a Q&A on my stream last night, and I'm kind of like. I kind of got to a point in my life where like certain like cliche questions that people ask, I like answer them very like directly and very harshly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you,
I kind of do that.
Do you like, they were like, do you believe in love at first sight? And I was like, no. And then they said, do you believe that everything happens for a reason? And I was like, no. And like different things like that. Like I was just like rapid fire answering. Like, I mean, what do you think about, let's just start at love at first sight.
yeah.
Was it you and Olana? Because obviously you thought it was love at first sight.
No.
I would go into Nick's room and he would like be like just staring at his phone, waiting for a text back.
I'm not gonna lie, I'd like I don't know. She was just like super my type.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah, kinda.
You believe in love at first sight?
I think. I don't know if there's something. All right, I was talking to Ace about this. There's a like, say the entire universe is a pool of energy. Fucking in this pool of energy, there's different frequencies, and like certain frequencies or certain people are lined up on certain frequencies. Like I think me, you, TJ, APG,
formal at some points.
Like we kind of line up on the same frequencies. Yeah. It's like sort of how you get your friend, like make your friends.
Yeah.
Like friends. Before I said a word to TJ ever, I like knew he was going to be my friend.
Yeah.
I agree. But, and I think that's kind of the same way for some females. Like you can look at them and it's like, they look at you. And it's, you just know, I guess. You're like on the same frequency.
That I agree with. I agree with that 100%. That is, yeah. I think
love
that
is probably deeper than
that. Yeah, yeah. I agree because there are people that I've met where immediately it's like there are qualities in people that are, they're not like off-putting. They're just like, they're things that, It wouldn't mesh. Like you have to, like yin and yang, like would work out if you're like friends with somebody. And if even if you're dating somebody, like you can be polar opposites in some situations, but there are some aspects of how you are as a person that can't, like they have to be the same. And if those like qualities line up, then I feel like you're just going to get really attached. A lot of
that's like humor.
Yeah.
I think humor is sort of one that has to line up.
Yeah. I think just like overall outlook on life. Like there are some people that are just like super like airy and like carefree. And that's like, there's nothing wrong with that, but they would line up with guys that are that way as well. And then there's people that everything is the biggest deal. Like everything is serious and it's constructive. Those are the worst for you, but there are guys out there and girls out there that are that way as well.
Yeah.
And so it's like I feel like the big qualities like that, and humor obviously is a huge one.
Yeah.
That if you line up, then you guys are just connected to each other. And then that's like connection at first sight. But I don't think it's like, I saw this girl and I knew I was going to be with her for the rest of my life.
Yeah. I don't know, that. Fuck no. But me and my ex, like she was like, our opposites were like, I was the like quiet, but like I never considered myself to not be social. Like I always kind of like made friends somehow, but I'd never like talked that much. Mm-hmm. And but she fucking rambles, and like that's what I like. That's those somehow I end up with those chicks, even though there's
you do.
that is like a sort of a chick thing.
Not I really.
Get, no,
I don't think so.
I feel like I get chicks that talk a lot. And maybe that it's is because true. I need that balances out like the not talking. So it actually makes it compatible.
I agree. I usually lean towards girls that are really organized.
Really?
Yeah. And
that's fucking weird.
Sam's really organized. Or Sam's really organized, but my last two girlfriends were like anal organized. Like everything was. And because, and yeah. I think I'm, because obviously, you know me, I'm not.
Well, I feel like you have to get a girl, or you have to get to know them to like realize they're organized.
Oh, I got to know all three of the people that I've ever dated. I've gotten to know them before I dated them. So I think that's, there are
different factors. I'm saying social skills, and then you're saying organization. And I think it's just.
That is true, I guess.
Well, that's a weird, like, that's. I guess it's just not a normal thing that people look at for like a girl.
Yeah. Well, I was trying to think of something that like counteracts. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's where my mind was. But because I think Sam and I, that's like the only thing that counter, because we have like pretty much identical humor and like
you guys
identical like personalities, which is
like
strange for me.
Yeah. I can see it. You're like personalities and like the way you are. At like socializing is kind of like you both will fucking dance and have a good time.
Yeah. Speaking of, we went to the strip club the other day. You knew it was coming.
And Sam.
As soon as I, we went to the, so don't, besides you, me, you, just so we know for the, so I don't have to cut. Don't talk about anybody else that was there except for myself, you, and Sam. So we were there with a group of people. We were at a strip club. It was only the second time I've ever been to the strip club. Fun fact, Holly bought me a dance at my first strip club.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
2 years ago, I think.
That's funny.
Before I was even an opt, or 3 years ago. 3 years ago, dude.
Wait, before you were an opt-in?
Yeah. Remember, Nola, when you, like...
That event?
When you got robbed.
Holy
same
shit.
Same event. That's when... Holly, because I was friends with Holly before I knew Damon. So Holly was like, hey, let's buy my friend Davis a dance. He's never been crazy. In a strip club. So they bought me a dance. And then 3 years later, I go to the second strip club ever because Sam comes up to me. We were
gone.
It was bad. She comes up to me and she was like, we're going to a booby bar. I was like, what?
That's exactly how she would say it, too.
Like, yeah.
Hand gesture and all.
And so then we get there and it's kind of all like a blur because we were just having such a good time drinking wise. And I'm sitting there with one of my other really good friends, who I'm not going to say. And he looks over to me and he's like, your girlfriend is, she might be gay. And I look over and Sam, I had given Sam like, oh, I should probably ask her if we should, whatever. I don't think she would care.
Yeah.
I gave her like $80 in ones. And I look over there as soon as my friend told me that. And she's sitting on a chair. And there's a girl in front of her. And she's sitting beside another girl in the community who is also getting danced on by another girl. And Sam's – and I will never forget this image. I'm looking at her and she's going – with a girl dancing on her with money in her hand like
that was
this.
The happiest I've ever seen Sam.
Dude, like, it was hilarious. Yeah,
she was, that was like genuine happiness.
And I know. And I literally look funny. Over and I was cheesing so hard, dude. It was, she was hilarious. Like,
yeah, smacking her button.
Yeah. It was funny.
Meanwhile, I was there sober.
Yeah, I cannot
believe.
For
the first time, like... Because the night before that, I went like so hard and had a, I went to the club and the strip club the night before that. So that was my second night in a row. But the strip club I went to, well, first off, the club was crazy. It was really good.
Yeah.
A place called Bottled Blonde. Then after that, we went to the strip club, which was the best strip club I've been to. It was like
wild,
like Drake music video, fucking
for real.
Like, yeah.
Because the one we went to was
the one we went to was trash, straight trash.
Yeah, it was terrible.
But we like made it good.
Yeah.
At first, I was like, this is trash.
But there was just it was all of us. By
the
time
more people kept rolling in that we knew, and like the strippers got comfortable.
Yeah.
And, like people started throwing money. Then we kind of made our own party. Like, yeah. In that section.
Yeah. And there was nobody else in it. I just want people to visualize that we walked into this place. We
were the only ones.
It was definitely, it looked like you know when you go into like a roller skating rink and it's really bad looking? It's like terrible. That's how I imagine the strip club.
Yeah, just, pretty much.
If they turned the lights on, there'd be stains on the carpet. Oh. And then just, it's like a gross place.
Yeah.
But we sat in this one section and it was all of us.
Sober in between it all.
I can't believe you were sober.
Like I was saying, I had a crazy night the night before. Yeah, so my stomach hurt. I just didn't want to drink just because I just didn't want to drink. I just was feeling like trash. But random, I was kind of in the hotel lobby like, all right, I think everyone's kind of like about maybe go to their rooms, go to sleep. And then someone came up with the idea of a strip club. It's like, why? No, I'm not going to say no. So I come with. And I just kind of sat back the whole time and enjoyed the show.
That was a funny time. That was a time. Sorry, Mom, if you're listening, which I'm sure you are, but that's a situation that I will never forget just because just that vision of there's a couple people in there that we ended up with them and just seeing them in that environment is hilarious. But seeing Sam in that one situation, that'll be something I never forget. So
yeah, that was pure happiness.
Yeah.
It like made me, I got to like sit back and kind of like people watch a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, besides our fucking dancing, I think me, you, yeah, I don't want to say anyone else's names, but me, you, and a couple other like good friends were just dancing.
Yeah,
like, we were fucking like obnoxious, like
just like dancing to the music. Because all the obvious, I don't know, obviously, but the girls, the like strippers, like they swarmed to all the girls we were with because we were with like four or five girls. So like swarmed to the girls and the guys.
Them. I will put him out there.
And the guys, I was about to say the guys that looked like they would fork over money.
As Aaron walks in with just like a polo shirt, bro, khakis.
I promise you, I walked in and the first thing I see is like
Aaron at the ATM with two strippers around him. Oh my god.
Oh, that's dude.
Such Aaron shit.
Yeah, but it was, that was so fun, dude. It was hilarious.
What time are we at here?
40, like probably like 40 minutes.
Okay. I didn't know if it was like an hour and a half or 40 minutes.
Dude, I thought on our podcast, the Optic podcast that we just filmed, I thought we talked for like an hour and a half, but it like barely hit like 55 minutes.
Really?
Yeah. Cause I thought we were talking forever.
Yeah. I felt like that was, I don't know. What's like the time you want for the podcast?
For the Optic podcast, I think an hour is good. But for the Flycast, I literally don't even care. That one...
Pretty much depends.
Yeah. We did an episode of the Flycast that was like an hour and 45 minutes long. Do you remember that?
Really?
Yeah, that's when we were like talking about like...
I think after it, we were like, what the fuck?
Yeah, yeah, like, we were.
That's why I was like, I literally... If you said 45 minutes, I would have believed. If you told me an hour 30, I would have believed you.
Yeah. It's just...
I didn't know.
It's just simple.
Because sometimes I feel like this is like too easy.
Yeah, right. It's kind of like therapy.
like therapeutic, I guess. Like it we is. Were,
we said that last time.
I mean, I've said this before in one of the Flycasts, but the Flycast never stops. You guys just see the hour that it's recorded. Yeah, like whenever
we're driving here.
Yeah, yeah. Whenever you and I hang out, it's always talk, talk, talk.
Yeah,
and just
talk, get, gossip,
yeah,
talk shit, fucking
get deep,
blame others,
yeah,
wonder fucking about life. On the drive over here, we were talking about shit. What were we talking about?
I don't know,
about?
But you told me to stop.
Yeah,
we were talking about Texas. The fact we're in Texas. You were just like, I can't believe we're in Texas. Like, why aren't we? Or like, it seems like just yesterday we were at the.
Oh yeah, and we started talking about like 1, 2, 3, 5.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking yeah.
I mean, we kind of talked about that in the Optic podcast, but like, it is it is weird, dude. It is weird.
Yeah.
I wake up and I'm in my own place with, you know, with Sam, and I can literally go upstairs to you and Aaron's room, and it's kind of like a. I mean, it is kind of like a better scuff house, but it's like a because it's like more private. But then also, there's like this whole new age feel about what the hell is going on, and the fact that we're like geographically in like the other side of the nation. It is weird.
That's one thing I agreed with Jay with whenever we kind of, I mean, people should know by now, we talked to Jay, we talked to Hex about like what are we gonna do, how's this ship gonna be ran.
Yeah,
I guess. And when we were talking to Jay, we were like kind of complaining about some things, and Jay was just like, you got to enjoy the process too. And that's one thing I agree with him on for sure. Yeah. It's like, it's definitely can be of course for you, probably more than me, more hectic and stressful, but I think in the long run, you'll probably wish you weren't as stressed about it and fucking enjoyed the, like Jay said, just enjoy the process, enjoy the fucking madness of it.
Yeah.
Cause it is fucking, people don't just like, people don't just get up and move across country with like in 3 weeks notice, 2 weeks notice, and kind of form a new life there.
People don't do that when it's literally a husband, a wife, and a dog. Like they'll move across country and it's still like a half a month to a month process. We're moving the most successful esports organization in the entire planet.
Yeah.
And we're moving them. We're moving everyone to like, one
city. Just say like 20 plus people, just 20 and then, 30
and then
branches.
While all of that is going on, the move is happening. We're also, I mean, we're also changing everything about Optic, and I mean, and it's not a bad thing. It's nothing to stress. It's nothing to like stress over. But everything is changing. Like Optic was very people will say it in the comments. People will say it on Reddit. Optic is very family oriented. It's very, oh, like 60-50, Nade Shot Scump and Merc, like it, in Scuff House, it's very smooth competition. Like it's very like a group of people who love doing content with each other, hanging out all the time. And that's what Optic was. And then, you know, there was a part of those people happened to be the best at a certain video game. Yeah. But it has since changed as esports has evolved and Optic needs to, you know, stay on top. And we can't, there's no possible way we could do that forever. But because it was so close knit and it was so like the circle was so tight that there's a lot that, you know, as these other organizations that didn't care about the family part of it, that they just wanted to build a business. They started and they built it like that. And now,
well, they just missed out on the family part.
Oh, 100%.
The family part isn't something you can just like make. Let's make a family house.
Yeah.
Like when people always say, kick them out of the house, get new content. I give everyone a lisp that just talks shit.
Get them out of the house.
Yeah.
Screw those guys.
but yeah, like say Hex, I don't know if I've said this in a fucking podcast before, but like, okay, say Hex kicked all of us out of the house and got new content creators. You guys would enjoy fucking that? Like random content creators living with each other?
Yeah.
Like forcing to make videos and like none of it's genuine. None of it came from years of being with each other. Like people have got to see like this whole thing grow, not be fucking forced like a job.
And it's not, and it's
like, like legit family type shit.
And it's like, exactly. They've seen it grow from, you know, Skump and Nade making videos, you know, at their houses. And then the idea of a team house coming together, and then the house comes together and it's like content goes through the roof and practice goes through the roof. And then there's like stale times in that where they like, there's bickering in between the house and then they start doing Minecraft and then it boosts up again. And then it goes into the Scuff House. Obviously we always like that. And it's
at first Scuff House was fucking popping.
Dude, it was the thing.
Yeah. It was popping with the fucking smooth comps. Everyone lived there or fucking in the area.
Yeah. Then you see other organizations start to do house reveals and like within Call of Duty. And it's like,
but are those even like working for them?
Yeah.
The only people I know is us or FaZe. And that's like the only thing I see working. Well. And then I was going to say TK. I see TK, but I don't know. Well, I'm just not into, I guess, esports enough to even fucking know. But
yeah,
I don't really know how they got there, I guess. Like, I don't know the backstory of how like that house was formed, but like other than that, it's like these people, these other teams already like missed out on the fucking like family fucking house. Like there's nothing like this.
Yeah, really. And you can't, I mean, it is a very difficult task, which is what we're doing right now, to go from family into how are we going to fit this family style into this massive infrastructure that we're
becoming the big baller brand.
Yeah, exactly. That is esports. That is like Optic now.
Yeah.
But that being said, it is very difficult to do that, but it is impossible to go from big style corporate esports to figuring out where a family is. Like nobody.
That's we're like not necessarily blessed because we fucking like earned it.
And yeah.
Like that. Us being the people we are got us to where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, no one can discredit that.
But at the same time, like there is a sense of luck that like Hex exists, that Jay exists, that
sure,
that Nade and Seth basically built, Nade and Seth didn't build Optic. A lot of people say that. Hex built Optic because it was the biggest sniper team on YouTube. And then Nade and Seth took it to the next level.
Yeah.
And 100%. And without all that, like, obviously, we came along in the later parts.
But not to say that it was luck, but we're definitely blessed as far as, like, will, like you said, like, Optic will always have the family thing, and like not saying we're set, like, oh, we're the family of Optic, we're set for life, because that's not the case at all.
Yeah.
But we do, there's something, I don't know, we have something people can't take away from us.
Yep.
And I don't know, it's, you can't, no, I don't know, we're just blessed to have it, I guess.
Yeah.
Just blessed to be a part of the journey. Fucking weird, crazy, never would have expected journey.
Yeah. And like, I guess the beginning point of all this is that it is like, that's where we are. You know, we weren't given this move and we weren't given this like whole transition. And there was a checklist of what all was going to happen. It was kind of like, we're doing this then, and then we'll figure out something that we're going to do later. It's because Optic was this family organization and everybody else was killing it in like corporate out here. And mm-hmm. they were treating it as if it was like a sports organization, like a national sports organization, which it is. But we were like, kind of like, that's kind of whack. Like, we don't want to do that. Like, we have this thing going so well for us.
Yeah.
And then we were like, well, we have to do this now. So now we're like kind of behind. And like a lot like of
the machine, the fucking machine's too big.
Yeah.
To where like, I mean, you gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah. So there's a lot, I can only talk about my lane, which is content. And there's a lot that we're behind on, you know, like we have, I'm super grateful for, you know, what we've done and what all Hex is, you know, been able to provide, like Hex, that's Hex's iMac, that's Hex's 5D that I'm shooting on, like all of that. Like I'm super grateful for all of that. But I look over, like Aaron and I have the worst equipment in esport, like out of the top, like 12 teams. Yeah. And that's not Hex's fault because we were still killing it with what we did. So there's no reason to get us more, but it's like now that we're playing this game now and we're not family anymore, like, or we are family, but we're not like just that, we're playing this game and these are our direct competitors. We have to match them. And so even just content wise, just Aaron and I sitting in an office, like over the past 2 weeks, that's all we're focused on is building a team and getting caught up to where we need to be in order to still like crush it. And so that's what my life has been for the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know where other teams are at. Like I'm just not familiar with your lane as far as competing with, I don't even know like what other teams do as far as like media and YouTube and whatever video series they're doing. I don't know what anyone's doing besides us.
I mean, it's still like,
even us, I don't fucking know. Yeah.
I mean, it's still like this, the same ish, like kind of, but Optic has always been, you know, you do it on your own and that's what fans will love. Like forcing, like, I don't know, say Team Java over here is the best Overwatch team in the game. And they have five players that every once in a while, once a week, they force to do a mean tweets video. That video, a 10 times out of 10 is going to be shot with better equipment, edited on better equipment, put out in higher quality than our videos. Mm-hmm. But our videos are going to do 30 times better because our, you know, because the personalities within Optic have worked hard to create that like personality.
It's just like a fucking, say ESPN. Say Optic is the ESPN of fucking esports. Fucking people expect content, esports content out of Optic, and they're much more likely to go to Optic to watch esports content, even if the content is lower. Say ESPN has like good content, but like some random fucking station has way better equipment and fucking they're shooting the best shit, but like people go to ESPN.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And which that's what has been, I mean,
is what we need to take advantage of.
Yeah, exactly.
It's already being that machine and not falling behind.
Yeah. And it's like
just not fucking it up.
And I see not all the time, but every once in a while I'll see on Reddit or on in comments or on my Twitter that like this whole infrastructure thing is a bad move, and it's not because the it's people
definitely not fucking noob.
Yeah, and the people that work here, yeah, obviously, but the people that work here noob. And the people that understand what's going on know that the only reason that this is successful in the first place is because of the family environment that is Optic. So we're just playing off of that, and there just happens to be like, people this around is us.
Nothing but better.
Exactly. Like, yeah.
We're noob.
Yeah.
I don't even need to explain.
Yeah. So I guess like my focus is getting everything where I would want it to be. And I'm shooting for like middle of March. I want to be like in the middle of March. I want to be rolling. Where
you want to be comfortable.
Yeah.
And know what, like
what the hell is going on. Like I want to have the team that I'm literally like at the beginning of Ocean's 11, when he's like, what team do you want?
I don't know.
At the beginning of Fast and the Furious 5.
But they're like,
have you ever seen Fast 5?
I don't think. At the beginning of the good ones. I only watched number 1 and 2, really.
Well, because
one was my favorite movie, maybe of all time, besides The Matrix.
Too Fast and Furious?
Fast and the Furious, the original.
Well, in Fast 5, they take the two different sets of Fast and the Furious, and they put them both together in one movie, which is like Tokyo Drift, okay, and then yeah. they're regular. So, and then so they're like building the team at the very beginning, which is what they do in Ocean's 11. So that's where I feel like I'm okay. at right now. Is I'm building this team, and that's
before we know we would have been talking about movies. Yes! That ship would have not been finished. How you feel in Optic would have never been finished.
I was about to go too. Yeah. I was about to be like, well. And then I was like, wait.
I would have talked about my favorite movies. You would have talked about your favorite. Fucking.
And then people in the comments are like, what was he going to say?
But
yeah, so I was telling you that because I've never really told you that. And also, like, I haven't I've never really, like, said that on camera. So that's pretty much where I am. And so, and then in the middle of, I know I'm like ranting, but in the middle of all of this, while I'm like, literally like, I'm watching like I'm watching like hundreds of highlight reel videos from like different videographers in the scene and like trying to figure out if there's anybody else that would, you know, be good. And I have like literally a list of names and what the pros and cons are. And I'm talking to Roger about who he would want to work with. And then I'm like talking on the phone with all these other people. And then in the middle of all that, I'll get a tweet and it's like, it's like, Vision's late. Like, do you even do anything anymore? And I'm just like, holy shit, Vision. I forgot about Vision. But I don't know. I will openly say that I am overwhelmed right now, but I also very much enjoy it. Yeah. It's exactly what Jay said. Because Jay,
I feel like you hate or you stress. I don't. You're almost like my mom. Like, she's not happy unless she's stressed.
Like, I can agree with that.
Like, when my mom is the least happiest, I think that's when she's like on the couch doing nothing. But when she can come home and bitch about work or like
I can agree with that to a certain extent. I mean, there are some things when I am stressed that like actually I would very much like that to get fixed.
I think like probably a week, maybe 2 weeks ago, it was like just when we first moved here and I saw you like you looked like shit. You fucking,
it was,
you're like walking around bug eyed, like fucking shoulders down, just like looking around. Dude,
thank God that week ended. Dude, there was literally like that week ended with like one meeting, and after that meeting I was like, I literally walked out of the room and I was like, that's the first time I've taken like a real breath in like 5 days.
I remember before that, when we were driving there, I got in the car and looked at you and I was like, are you nervous? And you're like, yes.
Yes. Yes. Very much nervous.
I knew you were.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, I mean,
if I can, you can just sense it.
Yeah. Cause this, I don't know. There's like so much going on. Mm-hmm. It's crazy how much is going on. Like, I think what the public knows about what is going on is like 10% of what is actually going on. And just knowing
they just don't understand. And I don't even understand. Like, I see all the teams, but what people don't think about is everything required behind these teams to like keep it, I guess at the top, fucking for lack of better words, but it's like there's like a fucking team behind each team to make shit work.
It's like a team behind. It's like a team behind each like esports team, and then behind that team is like a company, and it's like, gee, it's fucking, I don't know, it's crazy, dude. It's a situation that obviously I've never been involved in, and I think a majority of people have never been involved in, and I'm obviously like all I've ever done.
Well, there's no blueprint laid out for you.
Yeah. All I've ever done in my entire life is just grind to make YouTube videos. And now I'm like, I'm kind of having to like grow up, and like in certain situations I'm having to fight for the team, which is what I want to do. In other situations, I'm trying to fight for myself. Mm. And then in other situations, I'm trying to calm people down so they don't do something stupid. And then at another situation, it's like we're all working together and everything's like we're killing it and we're doing things how it's supposed to be done. So there's like a lot of growing up that I've had to do and a lot of like maturing. And, you know, thank God for Hex and Jay, because they've kind of like both like they've both been stern with me and they've both been, you know, also like whenever I come to them with something that is actually a problem, they didn't like, they didn't say, oh, well, I'm like 10 years older than you, so like you wouldn't understand. Like they hear me out and they're like, they'll like reason with me. You know what I mean?
And that's something I could tell from Het or Jay. I haven't known as long, obviously, and obviously not as close with as Hex coming to the house every day. Fucking 3 years or whatever. But yeah, that's one thing I could notice, I think, about Hex is like, there's like, you feel like you could go to him. Like I've like counted on him in certain situations.
Yeah.
And I feel like I knew I could count on him.
Yeah. And there's like kind of a part of
it's beyond fucking CEO member. Like it's for like sure. Friend.
Oh, for sure. And there's a part of this, there's a part of this entire change and this entire like situation where I feel like Hex even more so has like latched on to what is Optic, yeah, to what is that the sure. Scuff House and the COD team and the Gears of War and it's the like Halo team. Kids. Yeah, it's like no matter, I'll say this and I don't even, whatever, if I get in trouble, I get in trouble. But like Hex was looking at me and he looked at Aaron and he was like, dude, you know what I just realized? Aaron is the last of his kind. Aaron is the last airbender mm-hmm. of Optic. Like he's the last person that came on before this whole thing happened. And he joined Optic how people have been joining Optic since 2006. And now nobody else will join that way. Yeah. Everything else will be an employment or some sort of other thing. And, mm-hmm. and I think that in Hex's mind is exciting, but also is a realization that this is Optic.
Family close.
Yeah.
Number one song on Drake's album, The Views. Keep your fucking family
it's
close.
It's like everything from when Hex acquired Optic by Crew, or like he joined Optic. Ever since Hex joined Optic up until Aaron Create is Hex's baby.
That's what we got to end on.
Yeah, we end on fucking Aaron.
And he's the perfect little shit brother. Like he is definition of last kid in the family.
Fucking, he's definitely he's
like that fool is 19 and doesn't realize how good he has it.
No, yeah, but
that's fucking.
But he did earn it. Yeah. He did earn it, like without a doubt, earned it. So,
yeah, I gotta give him his respect. Like to be 19 and like he figured it out some way. Like you don't just fucking end up here.
Dude, he did something that took like it takes guts. Like I was working in Intel. I was working in Intel and he was going to high school because he was still in high school. And I was working at Walgreens and we had this other guy and the three of us were just running this YouTube channel. And I would record after I got home from Walgreens and send them the videos and they would edit it. That's how we ran a YouTube channel for like a year. And then I joined Optic. Aaron is offered a job as a designer for Optic. And Aaron leaves his senior year of high school to be homeschooled. And he goes and completes high school at home while working for Optic as a designer, continuing to learn how to design better and taking on clients. And that he started making money. And his parents said, if you're going to do this, you have to pay for rent. And he started paying rent, making money, and then eventually joins Optic and lives in the CS in the Scuff House because he decided to be homeschooled in high school. How crazy is that? And then you see him on video, and you're just like, you little shit. Like, how did you end up here?
Yeah. And then everyone else, fucking fans or something. I don't know if I've ever even seen that comment, but someone always hates somebody and thinks whether they don't deserve it or
fucking. Also, I hope Aaron is cool with me telling that story, but if not, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Whatever. What's he going to do?
Yeah, whatever.
We could beat him up. Yeah, all of it, like, I feel like everyone who's in the, like, Optic fucking family, we got to come up with a
Scuff House.
Okay, everyone from like the Scuff House days, and even like the Nades, Nade Shot, Skump, obviously, but not. I've heard a little less for them.
I've heard the term "old optic," but that sounds terrible because optic is still optic.
Old optic makes sense.
You think so? But OG optic, OG original,
OG
optic?
OG
OG OG.
But what it takes from everyone that has like become a figure in optic, everyone had like a leap of faith to fucking. You know how many like people think it's easy, but the hardest part was taking that leap of faith to fucking move across country, to ask Hex, to approach Hex with a documentary series idea, to what Aaron did, fucking homeschooled from high school to fucking practices fucking art.
Yeah.
Embos and Mike pretty much doing the same shit I do. Mike had Red Bull pretty much like dropped Red Bull to like be an optic, and like there's a lot of shit people do fucking, and just moving your whole life, moving out of your parents' house to a random area you don't know to start a random career you have no experience in. YouTube,
yeah,
at least for me, Mike and Bose, like it a leap of faith is harder to do than work, probably, if that makes sense.
It is harder, and what people don't understand is it's more stressful.
Yeah,
going to work, and I wasn't
that stressed when I worked.
Same.
I just like life wasn't that good.
Yeah,
but like I woke up. Say usually my schedule was on the evenings. It'd be like from 2 to 9 or something like that. I'd wake up. It might be like noon. I would go to the gym sometimes. Sometimes I'd go after work. Sometimes I just wouldn't go. It's pretty much like it is now. But I'd wake up. I knew what I needed to do, and that was arrive at work and then do my job. I had friends at work. It wasn't that bad. I'd talk to them while doing my shit. And then work would end and maybe hang out, go home, practice Halo. Actually, yeah, it was always go home and practice Halo. Sometimes fucking go out and drink or whatever I did.
Yeah.
But it was like a pretty easy, basic. But I was also broke as fuck.
Yeah. And
not, yeah, no, I was. Yeah. I was pretty broke.
Oh, dude, I was. That's an understatement for me. And I mean, I've heard horror stories of you too. Yeah. Whenever you were working,
like at I remember life. Borrowing $5 from my brother just to get to work, fucking to get to the gas station, put $5 in, and then get to work because that was like payday or some shit.
Yeah, I mean, oh, dude, I remember like like whenever my mom would come to visit, just asking her. Obviously, I love my mom and I love hanging out with her, but just asking her if she wanted to go to dinner or like go to lunch so that I could eat something besides ramen and like PB&J. Like,
what, just knowing your mom's going to pay?
Yeah, because my mom's going to pay. Like, and whenever I'm in college.
When you go home now, do you pay?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like every time. Or I try as much as possible.
I don't. I'm sure I have, but I like, it's weird. I can, but I like want my mom to feel like she's like taking care of her baby. Still.
Yeah, yeah. That, like, I understand that too. And I've always
like,
kind of like
confused on like how you should feel or not.
And I always wonder because whenever I do pay, I'm like, I got it. And she's like, are you sure? And I always think like, I wonder if like, I hope she's not like, I hope it's not weird for her. Like, I hope it's
like, I just want whatever is more comfortable for my mom.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't know. And I don't know the answer of whether it's me paying or her paying.
Yeah.
But she seems like I don't know. I like just getting like her out of the house and like should whatever I feel is the right thing to do, I let happen.
Yeah,
which is
I think
I don't know. I'm like let's not let her think, but mom wants to like take care of her baby forever.
Yeah, 100%. And I don't know. I think. to some extent we're looking too far into it because just the fact we're home is enough.
Yeah.
Because I know my mom really, she like kind of, she tries to hide the fact how much, when how happy she is whenever I get home and she's hanging out with me.
What do you do when you are home when there's like nothing to do? Like in those hours between like waiting on, like, let's say there's like a 4 hour period on, you just got done out to eat with them. And like you might, you're not, you know, like hang out with a friend or something till like later.
You're just hanging out.
Like
either my mom and I, like sometimes like sometimes we'll just do something like she lives on the beach, so it's a little bit that's kind of cheap. Yeah, so whenever we come home, literally this is how it'll probably go over Christmas break. I'm gonna go home and then we're gonna go out to one of her favorite places to eat. Then we're going to come back and we're going to take an hour nap. Then we're going to walk on the beach and then we're going to come back and like watch a movie and fall asleep. And that's like one, like that's like a typical routine, but obviously within all of that, we're like talking and catching up and, mm-hmm. and figuring things out. Also, I always wait every year until December to watch the new Star Wars with her. So I'm waiting to do that as well.
What, does it come out every year?
Comes out, yeah. Well, ever since Disney bought out Star Wars, they have put Star Wars on like a yearly cycle. So,
Call of Duty.
Yeah, last 2 years there's been a Star Wars out. So the next one is coming out.
Yeah, I don't know what
today. I think today.
It's like we'll eat, talk, and then there will be like that time where it's like, I guess nap time.
Yeah.
And I'll go upstairs, either fall asleep, and then usually I'll try to, like, pick a friend. Because say I'm home for 4 or 5 nights. There will be, like, one night I stay in. Then, like, I try to, like, pick. Because all of my friends aren't friends with each other. So I kind of have to, like, pick certain days to hang out with, like, or certain nights to hang out with certain people because they fucking work.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
are only off at night to hang out. But. So I'll just pick different people to hang out with and try to make people happy while I'm home. Because it is fucking weird.
It is weird.
I feel like I have, and I know you probably feel this way too, I feel like I have like the best friends. Like all of my friends are like better people than me. Like
I can agree with that.
Like I have really good friends.
Yeah.
Like not like good, really good people.
Yeah.
Like they're people I trust like for life.
Yeah, for sure. I mean the people a lot of my friends, I guess there's only really like 3 or 4, but all the people that are at home, you know, at home like pursuing their careers still in North Carolina that I go home and visit, you know, we all went to middle school and high school together and they saw me go through, they were there in my house as I was going through like the worst times in my entire life and vice versa. I've been with them through their hard times. And so once you do that and once you're that close with somebody, and then obviously you were best friends with them already, like it's something that you like never forget. And it's like kind of unfair for everybody else that you've met in your life, because as close as you'll ever get to them, you were never there during those moments. You know what I mean? And so that's kind of how I feel about back home is like family. Once you go through crazy stuff, like family, you'll always be attached to them, you know, even closer than you already were. And then those friends, like those are friends for life, no matter what. Like,
something I don't think I'll ever forget is like shortly after my dad passed away, my best friend, Eric, like I was Mia.
Yeah.
I didn't invite him over. I didn't want to talk to anyone. But one day I just wake up and he like walked in my room and he was just like, "Hey, how you doing?" And I just like gave him typical answer. Like,
yeah.
It sucks and shit. But, and then he just like sat there on, like my computer chair and we didn't even talk. He just like sat there for like an hour or two and just like as I laid there, I guess. And like we would talk every now and then, but like it just showed his like effort to like be there.
Yeah.
Cause he literally just fucking sat there. It was just, I guess, there for me if I needed him.
Yeah.
But like friends like that, it's fucking
shit, dude.
It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean,
It's nice.
The day, like, yeah, the day my dad passed away as well, like, you know, all the craziness happened at like probably like 6 to 7 p.m. And then by 9 p.m., Brandon and Blake were both in my living room. Mm-hmm. And they both, you know, they stayed there. They did whatever, you know.
Whatever the fuck you're supposed to do.
Yeah. Like, and it's like, what are, I'm 18. One of them's probably 18. One of them's probably 17. And they're dealing with this, like, you know, and it's something that you don't think about in the time, because obviously if it happened to them as well, I'd be there. But it's something that's like, it's probably something that like affected them as well. It's like,
oh yeah.
Yeah. It's like, you're watching somebody that, it's all fun and games in high school until something like that happens.
Shit just starts happening.
Yeah. What the yeah. And so like there are images of there are images that are constantly rolling through my head. Like, I mean, it happens all the time that I just like think about, you probably do it as well. Like, you go back and you think about that night or that, that like time in your life. And like, there's just an image of Blake, like sitting on the couch like this, or like, or Brandon, cause Brandon was like always beside me. And it's like, it's like those images.
I remember how I was sitting when I found out.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's weird. Just certain times in your life that you're not going to forget.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know how deep you want to get into this, but it's like,
to be honest,
me neither. I don't want to get into it, but there's just like certain situations where you just like feel like it's not like the hard parts, or like you're talking to somebody. It's like really weird shit that you remember. Is that?
I remember, I just remember the position I was. I feel like I was watching myself from a third person, and I was, say, like, this was my bed, this table. I just remember being on the floor on my knees, just like face down in my bed.
Yeah.
And that's like always been when I think about that, that's a picture that comes to my head. Is like how you're saying. It's like I could just see myself in third person in this.
Yeah.
All right, that's been it for the podcast. Thanks for listening.
An hour and 20. The one thing that I did want to talk about the Flycast is, I brought it up at the very beginning, is that, like, with this whole like move and rebirth of Optic Content, I guess, because we're so like happy right now. Yeah, that was a weird way to say it, but the Flycast, it's something that we like to do a whole lot, and it's something that you guys are consistently asking us about. And so whenever we do this, we don't just want to like randomly do it. We want to eventually get to a point where it's like once or twice a week, and then we also kind of want it to be on more than just one platform, which is, side note, also what we're trying to do with the Optic Podcast, or Optic. Not trying, also what we're going to do. So how do you want to do that? Like,
I would just say for the people listening or watching, we're trying to figure out right now, like this, I don't know if this is going to be your podcast room for the Nation channel or what, but what we're figuring out is what do we want to do with the Flycast as far as like, we're not going to use any of this. No. Like, we're going to pretty much figure out our own, where do we want to record at? We're going to buy mics, figure out all that stuff. I'm sure we'll just end up using a camera that we already have.
Yeah.
There's some just around.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're going to figure out a whole separate scene for the Flycast other than that has nothing. That will not be the same as the Optic Nation podcast. Yeah. Like, it's going to be our own shit.
Yeah, literally, like, in the next 2 days, I'm ordering this and like, different mics and stuff, and then we're going to set up in somewhere in one of our apartments. Yeah,
like, it could be in our apartment. It could be in a random fucking office here. Or,
true.
We don't know what, but We just know we're gonna figure something out.
Yeah.
That makes it our own. And anytime we want to record, we record and it's there.
True.
It wasn't like what it was before, where it kind of have to be on a time thing.
Yeah.
And for shit to actually be there.
Yeah. And how do you want to do like putting audio on different?
What do you mean?
Like, I don't even know how to do like Apple or iTunes podcasts or Spotify or like SoundCloud.
That's something
we'll have to figure out.
Yeah, we'll have to figure out. But we are going to do that. We might need some help.
I would like
to. I bet you Al could help us.
Al for what? That shit?
Yeah. He could probably just like we can give him the file and just put it on everything.
He's got the connects in Apple. Al, the fucking
I just think he's just a grinder.
Well, I just have no idea what it requires to like get that.
Same.
But yeah, whatever fucking you need to do, we will figure out and get it there. Hopefully. Oh. It'll be a fucking journey. Enjoy the process.
Yeah, trust the process.
But the next Flycast, our goal is to definitely have our new scenery.
I agree.
Fucking room, wherever we're at, we want to figure that out.
We just have to Amazon Prime it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for laughing with us, joking with us, crying with us. Getting really weird. Well, that's going to do it.
Yeah. Wait, do we have outro music?